For some time now, we've been doing nights of worship. I'm also linked in with the Burn 24/7 movement that's all over the globe, having extended nights of worship and prayer. And it was a really good journey to go on. You know, having spent a lot of time organizing and preparing sets of songs for Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or whatever, and we were pretty free. We'd have reasonable amount of time and spend time in there. And being the pastor of the church and the worship leader, sometimes I didn't have to have an argument with the pastor about how long the worship should go and if we should keep going. I just have an internal conversation and say, shall I preach or not? No, let's keep worshiping. And so we always made room for the prophetic. We always made room for contributions. People have words and things and made space for that. But it's different to go from a 30-minute to a 45-minute set to lead worship for 2 hours. And I don't know if you guys do much of that stuff. Is that, do you, don't you? At all? Yeah. So, well, let me just throw some thoughts out about that. Because I really, first few times I did it, I was really kind of going, oh, I've run out of songs already. What shall I do? And, yeah. What I realized is that actually we're into the 12-inch versions of most of these tracks now. So for those of you that remember vinyl, you'd have singles and you have the extended edited remixes of tracks and stuff. And so, yeah, it's good to have songs as a foundation, but just, you know, most of what I sang there was totally spontaneous, just out of the overflow of my heart. And that's just an example of how we can sing prophetically based around a core of words that are easy for others in the room to grab hold of. And it's very helpful if you don't have data projection or overhead or whatever, just to pick some phrases, some refrains, and then even use medleys around those chord structures. One to help if you've got a gang of musicians playing. You know, you don't have to overcomplicate it. Four chords have worked very well for many artists. I'm not saying it's the only way to do it, it's just a way of doing it. And using that as a bedrock for spontaneous singing, as a bedrock for prophetic utterances, and not just move on. It's really important that we, you know, how many people remember all the prophecies? So, first of all, remember all the sermons they've ever heard? Nobody. Okay, how many people remember all the prophetic words they've ever heard? That have ever been given. This is why we record them on our phones, we transcribe them, we pray them. In the good old days, we used to have them on tape, cassette tape, and play them back and play them to other friends, say, can you pray over this word for me? Can we type them? And we really cherish the prophetic words that we have. They are markers in our journey. They're a destination point. They're things that put tension in our lives that help us propel forward, get promoted. Promoted forward motion into where we're supposed to be from where we are. I heard, just to throw this out, I had a word from a visiting prophet one time. He said, you want to be a catalyst for revival? I'm an 18-year-old helping get his luggage out of the car. And I'm thinking, what does that even mean? What's it going to look like? But in recent years, I've just been reminded of that word, and you think, I'm a catalyst for revival. That means where I go, I'm going to help encourage and inspire and bring people into a place of encounter and revival. And so using the refrains, using the simple phrases, well, did you want me to pull this one out of the way, John? Sorry, while I'm talking. It's all right. Yep, it's okay. I'm doing it. It's all good. So, yeah. So, and when we then start having extended times of worship, which I really encourage you to do, because we've been having worship times in our house. We've had people come in and they'll say, and you'll see them getting touched by the presence of God. You'll see them get in touch by the Father, and you'll see them come in feeling and looking one thing and then going out feeling and looking something else, because they've had a transforming encounter with God's presence. And all we've done is sing some songs and prophesy a little, or maybe do a little bit of prayer ministry, but really our focus is on Him and what He's doing in our midst, and joining in with that. And so what they did for me when we started, you know, the first set list, I had like 25,000 songs in my set list, and I'm going to do all I can to get through them and hope I won't run out. And then realizing that actually maybe I only need four, and just
linger. Linger in the place, linger in the phrases, linger in the moments where God is moving, and make room for the prophetic to be released. And listen as you play in a worship circle, in inverted commas, with other musicians. You just enjoy worshiping together and then bouncing off one another. Ronnie, you just said something that I sang back at you, or sang back into the room, because I just heard a phrase. And that's what we do. So I'll come back to the point I was making. So it's hard to remember all the prophetic words we had. It's hard to remember all the prophecies that we had. But who remembers the words to songs that they listened to when they were a child? Who can just instantly start singing lyrics from songs from 20, 30, 40 years ago? So how important then would it be? Yeah. How important then would it be to take the prophetic word that's just been given in church and turn it into a song and then sing it out over the church for a season? Because then you're taking the word of the living word of God, you know, the now word of God, that rhema word, and putting it into music. And then we're singing it over ourselves. We're decreeing that thing over our church, our community, our whatever's going on. And so not just writing songs per se, but taking hold of the prophetic. And so in an environment, say, and we can maybe, some will do something in a minute and we'll see if I can, we'll workshop it maybe. Someone brings a prophetic word and then we just sing it back. I know this happens in another model of 24/7 has been the harp and bowl model as part of Mike Bickle's IHOP movement. And that's not necessarily my favorite way of doing it, but it's really powerful because they're taking, reading scripture, they're reading that out, and then the singers are singing it out and they're repeating. And then there'll be some more scripture and then they're singing it out. They're grabbing hold of the key phrases and singing those phrases out. And that's powerful. And then if the prophetic is released, they'll grab hold of some of the key prophetic phrases and sing them back and sing them out. And spending time doing that, because it's releasing the now word of God into the atmosphere and into the moment to embed itself in people's hearts. See, words are containers of thought, and we can use melodies to embed them into people's hearts and understanding. So because people just catch hold of tunes and melodies, you get... earworms, don't you? That thing you listen to, the last song you listen to on the radio before you close your car door and go to work, is normally the one that will be pinging around your head all day long, and you just hope it's a good song. Or you need to go and get something else to, you know, null that one out and get a fresh tune or a melody. And I'm not sure I'm either awake or asleep, but I'm singing in through my night times. I'm waking up singing songs that I've been listening to and just releasing that tune in my head. And those words, those thoughts, those decrees are embedded themselves into my heart, into my mind, into my understanding. And it just helps continually place me back into a solid foundation of who I am in Him and who He is in the earth and those decrees. That's why it's really important that, the songs that we write and the songs that we sing have that truth of God's heart and word in them, that we don't just write the first thing and stick it out there. We just kind of, does this make sense? Is this biblically true? I'll sing a song in a bit, which is one I've written. But at the end of it, there's just a refrain, which is a scriptural decree into what was a difficulty. You know, I think there is something in our worship that brings healing, basically. And if you listen to the songs like All Sons and Daughters, any guys familiar with that group? They wrote, John is. Give me one of their songs, John. Brain's gone blank. They did Wake Up. It's your breath in my lungs, and I pour out my praise. I pour out my praise. Great band. If you look into the community and what those songs have been birthed out of, it's come from a community of people that are being set free from drugs and people from dark places that are coming into a relationship with God. And so they've written songs that speak into and speak of that journey. And it's raw. Some of them are very raw and they're very, really beautiful songs. But that song in particular, Great Are You, Lord, has gone all over the world. Amazing, isn't it? It's got the wind of the Spirit on it, and people caught hold of it, and it's sung all over the world. Another song that's gone all over the world is Good, Good Father by Housefives. You know, everywhere we go, people are singing, He's a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. That's who I am. It's who I am. It's the people are identifying that they're loved by God. They're singing it out. And as they sing it out, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. So if you're speaking faith in the wrong kingdom, if you're speaking fear and anxiety and stress and, oh, my problems, then what your ears are hearing is stress and anxiety and fear and everything's going wrong. But if you're speaking out the truth of God's nature and His beauty through song, and that's what's going to get embedded in your spirit. That's why I'm sleeping or waking or something. It's all a bit weird when you're slightly out of sync with the world and with jet lag. But it's worship. I'm worshiping in my sleep. I think that's really quite cool. Yeah, and so I just encourage you, if you're going to explore that a little bit more, just find refrains. So that was a piece of one song. If there are more singers here, I'd have probably got you to do some rounds and let's hear the voices really sing out, because you can sing that in a delay and a delay and just create this beautiful cacophony in the sweetest way of voice and sound, just declaring that He is holy, the eternal song. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And that sound, that song that's released in Revelation is repeated, is heard and repeated in the earth. And it's just something about those holy, holy songs. We don't do them all the time, but you know, there's times when you just want to feel those holy moments and you step into the encounter that God is releasing. I thought, how long are we going on for, by the way? So what's the kind of timing tonight? I don't want to just...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely. Just getting warmed up, to be honest.
Yeah,
good.
Sure.
So, and the other thing to do is you'll realise for the ones that play guitar and keyboards, whatever, that many songs are written in the same, with the same keys, the same chords, the same chord structures. And one of the things that I started doing when we're doing these extended times of worship is the medley that you just link one song to another to another. And when we have worship time, I try not to have too much transition. Sometimes you just want to sing a song, that song's done, let's go on to the next one, you can change key and do whatever. But when we're doing the flowing extended worship times, I'll try and grab a whole bunch of songs in one key and join them all together. So we'd be singing something like, let's do this. Sang it last night.
We love you. Soul that I can't say that I can't control. God, how worthy.
So just lay a foundation down and just join one thing onto another, and through the flow of what God's saying, it's just a really good way of just taking people on a journey and just keeping going. And in that environment, it just often finds a present builds and builds and builds and takes people on.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Feel the presence of God in the room. Yeah, so Father, yeah, just as I'm not going to wrap it up just yet, I'm going to do a little bit more. Just as we're in this moment, environment of your presence, Lord, I pray you'd minister to us. I pray you'd minister to our bodies, that you'd release strength, healing, and wholeness in us, that you would satisfy us as we are in your presence. You know, one thing that satisfies, and that's being in your goodness, in your presence, God. And I pray as we linger here, as we spend time here, as we're talking about you and singing to you, Lord, I pray that you would meet with each one of us in a tangible way. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Just kind of in two minds, as usual. Quite just carry on worshiping. Let me just say something about... I touched on it yesterday, but I just want to expand it a little bit. The whole idea of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. See, when we lead worship in a church setting, I see it as has a very pastoral aspect to it. We're singing songs and we're inviting people to gather, to come closer, to draw near. And then to encourage people to go higher. Bring your gratitude, your attitude of gratitude determines your altitude in worship. And so there's a pastoral aspect and element to that. There's a missional call to draw people into his presence. But this part of this restoration of the tabernacle has a vertical aspect to it. You know, I'm worshiping in this direction. You guys do what you like, but if you want to join in, come and join in. So when we worship, I tend to not say as much. I just head off into worship, and the invitation is come and lay your heart on the altar. Here we enter his courts with thanksgiving. We enter his gates with praise. But after that, there is an invitation to come into the holy place, into the holy of holies. And that mosaic model is a real key aspect of what happens in worship. So the attitude of thanksgiving in our hearts is the access all areas pass that you really want when you go to see your favorite rock band. You want to get in and meet them backstage after the show and shake their hand. You say, "Ah, thank you," is that we get to go and see the King of Kings as we say thank you. It's such a vital part of praise and worship, the attitude of our hearts. It is possible to stand up here feeling grumpy and angry and all the rest of it, and you can kind of navigate your way, and God is gracious enough to steer you, enable you. And I've stood on the stage feeling very sick and not having much energy and whatever, and it's almost all I can do to put this guitar around my neck and start singing. But you know, there's something in me that rises up. I will not give the Lord that which costs me nothing. David talked about, I will not give burnt offerings that cost me nothing. You know, he was king and he was offered that place to make a sacrifice. But he said, I'm going to pay for this, because if I don't pay for it, it's not going to mean anything. And when we worship, we need a worship that costs us something, because worship that costs us something means something. And it means something to God. And that is that costly sacrifice. I think someone was talking about it in the last few days. Sorry, everything's gone below. I wasn't sure if it was here yesterday, but the alabaster jar. You're going to sing a song about the alabaster jar. That is one of the most significant acts of worship, the most costly act of worship ever physically done to Jesus. This a year's worth of costly perfume. This is inheritance being splendidly and extravagantly poured out on the Savior. And he accepted it. He had no problem with extravagance. And he even protected the person that was bringing that offering of worship. He protected her from the grouchy, grumpy disciples who didn't once again understand what was going on in the room, which also encourages me, because there are times that we just don't get it, that we don't understand what's going on in the room. But let's just lean into God and not on our own understanding, and everything will work out for good. But you just see Jesus going, back off. What she's doing has eternal significance. She is preparing me. And I just love that idea that as she poured that oil out, this costly, extravagant worship over him, that she wept and she used her hair to wipe his feet, and that when she finished worshipping him, the fragrance that was on Jesus was a fragrance that was on her. She left that place smelling exactly the same as Jesus did. In our worship, it can be like that. We can offer ourselves, we can pour out something that's costly, that really we've had to stand in a place when it's difficult to stand and give something that's difficult to give. And his fire consumes their offering, but it leaves us marked by his beauty and by his wonder. And scripture talks about everywhere we go, we carry with us the fragrance of him who sends us. You know, I see those things linked. You know, there's a fragrance in worship that we carry with us when we leave the building and we go to have brunch or dinner or something. And people should notice who we are because of what we've just done and what is the residue of that on our lives, because it's powerful and it's effective. And so, you know, those times when I struggled to bring the song because of the physical state that I was in, God met me in those moments. It's like all the pain, all the stuff just fell off, and there was this connection, divine connection from earth to heaven. And then this connection from heaven to earth. You know, there are angels on assignment to strengthen us, to equip us, to empower us, to lift our heads. Because he is the lifter of our heads. He is everything we need. He is the one that takes us from a place of pain and difficulty in a place of freedom and hope and life and joy. And I'm just feeling like I want to sing a song of mine, as we've been talking about singing songs that aren't someone else's. And this song's called Pieces. And I'm pretty sure I said this here yesterday. You know, God is still in the business of binding up the brokenhearted. And our part of that, I'm trying to think of the right word, it's not really a bargain, but our part of that deal is to bring him all the pieces. Bring him all the pieces of our broken heart so he can bind them up. But each one of us is equipped to bind up each other's broken hearts at times. We'll stand with friends, we'll stand with family when they're going through darkest, deepest, difficult times, and we can put an arm around them, we can love on them, we can bless them, we can encourage them, we can give them words of hope and life and courage and bring heaven to earth for them, because the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon each one of us to preach the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted. And I just think it's a really powerful part of what we do in worship is create an environment where people can be touched and changed and blessed and encouraged. So I don't think I'll finish that thought, but those times that we've been having in our house in the last few years have been remarkable, because these guys are coming in and they've been beautifully touched. They said, I was so dry before I came in this evening. I so needed that touch from God. I so needed to be in this place tonight. And you think you're doing one thing, but you realize there's a whole bunch of other things going on. There's far more happening behind our back than we can see with our eyes in front of us as we make a space and a place for God to be among us as we worship together. Okay, so I'm going to sing. Whoop.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I thought that was going there. That's my life in several Apple products right there. Thank you for the cloud. You're coming on the cloud, God. Let me just say one more thing. So I've spoken to a few of you about my story. Some of you know a little bit. Dara and I have pursued healing and the ministry of healing because of the sickness and the problems that I've lived with in my life. I was diagnosed with a serious condition when I was 26 years old. I had 1 year where I had 150 days off work because I was so ill. I spent over 6 weeks in hospital on and off during that year, and I was on all sorts of medication. It was really tough. And there were occasions when you just knew that God was holding you in the moment, even though it was really tough. And even though I felt far away at times and I was kind of going, God, where are you? He could always be found. And his grace is so powerful. His peace is so perfect. And his love is so complete. It's far more than we could ever begin to understand. It's so deep. It's so wide. It's so high. It's so long. And these are the messages we need to be communicating with people in the world. That's what they want to hear. They want vulnerability. They want to see reality. They want truth. Spirit and truth is, you know, everything's not been great, but God is still good. Not just some triumphalistic statement that doesn't connect with the reality that people are facing and that they're in. And when they realize that the people inside these four walls are normal people with normal lives and have experienced the same challenges that they have, but they're still holding on, they're still faithful, they're still truthful. And it might speak to their hearts that there is a way to find victory through the struggles and the problems. And there is supernatural transformation. There is out of darkness into glorious light. And there is also a journey that sometimes we have to go on. But God is faithful, and he's faithful to his promises. And he won't let us down or let us go. Let me just sing a song. And if you really feel like you want a fresh touch from Jesus in a place of pain or in a place of difficulty, or if there's a family member that you're really contending for, just as I sing this, let it be a prayer to you. And let it decree something into your lives and in the lives of your families that there is a God that binds up the brokenhearted. There is a God that rolls away the stones. There is a God that bursts open the prison cells, that bends apart the bars of bronze, that bursts those doors and invites people to come out from where they are into a place of light, out of the darkness, into glorious light. Yeah.
Pick up the pieces of my broken heart. each step gets lighter as I draw near. You cast away every fear. I lift my head, look into just as I am. You hold my world in your hand. Silence is broken by an ocean's roar as your waves of grace crash and flow. To pieces, lost and alone. Know there's a friend and a home.
Thank you. I'll just pray, shall I? So, Father, I thank you that you do bind up every piece of our broken heart. And I pray for those here, those that may hear this recording, that their hearts will be bound by your everlasting, unending love, that they would realize that underneath them are your everlasting arms. You are strengthening us. You are a sure shelter. You are a rock in the hard times. You are a safe harbor. Your name is a strong tower. We run towards you and run into that place of safety. And we shelter under the shadow of your healing wings. And I pray blessing. I pray peace. I pray healing in the name and authority of Jesus. Amen.